you that you are present with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you change lives, Lord. And when you get hold of us, Lord, what we were and what we become is completely different, Lord. And Father, we just want to honor you, Lord God, and we want to pray this morning that you prepare our hearts, Lord, that our hearts will become good soil, Lord. That when the seed is sown, it will bring a harvest. Father, I pray, Lord God, for every person who is here, Lord God, to know you, Lord. To know you intimately. To know that you are good, Lord. To know you as the God that comes through for his children, Lord. Lord, not to be disappointed and sitting in unbelief and despair because all these things that you're waiting for and standing in faith for is not happening, but to know that God is good all the time. That we know that God is good. God is good to his people. God is good because he's our Father and he loves us. Father, I want to honor you this morning, Lord, as the God by the blood of Jesus that changes lives, Lord. That place where we say the old has gone and the new has come. We've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to show you a video clip, but I'm sort of touch and go. Maybe I shouldn't show it, but I'm going to show it while the children are going out. If we can just watch that clip. It's a little bit long. I apologize that we've taken a bit longer of your time this morning, but I think it's worth a while. If you can just...
Family life was very lacking. I don't remember much of it because I think I spent a lot of time blocking a lot of it out. I've been technically on my own since I was like 10. When I was 13, I got emancipated. Because it was more lucrative for my father. Yeah, so I had to find work. So I had somebody that was like a father figure to me, but he was also a bookie, and I ran numbers for him. People wouldn't always pay their debts, and so I would go with him, and we would get our money. Means possible. It got to a point where, beating somebody up was as easy as breathing, you know, really. And because that's, you lose all kind of, you're numb to it. You get numb to it over time. It's no big deal. I ended up selling cars, and I was really good at that because I'm a master manipulator anyways, you know, at that point in my life, because, you had to be. If you're on the streets or this or that, you know, you did what you had to do to survive no matter what. And at that point, I had met somebody, I got married, and I have two beautiful, beautiful children. Life was just kind of going along, you know. We had the big house, nice car. I had some back problems, and I went to the doctor. I started taking pain medication, and I'm an extremist. You know, I don't do anything halfway. And man, once I got that feeling, well, I did them all, and then some. As time went on, I lost my house. My significant other at that time, she ended up moving up to Wairika. So at this point, you know, I have nothing left. Not even pictures, not even clothes, not even. And then I wasn't seeing the kids at all. So then I started smoking dope, meth. I covered the pain, you know. At that point, I picked up dealing. I found Quay Street, and it was right up my alley for what I needed to do over there, and, you know, so I was there for a long time, and, you know, it got to a point where, you know, nothing really happened in that neighborhood without me knowing about her, being okay with it. Ran into Bethel, you know, the students were in that neighborhood, so I'd be running drugs all day long, you know, most of the night, but for a good 2-3 hours, I'd end up over at the student's house, and was didn't matter to them. Just didn't matter to them that what I was doing, they loved me fiercely. So then I tried to go to church with them, and I couldn't even sit through a worship service without just bawling. I would have to get up and leave. I had lost all hope that nothing was ever going to change, that I'd never see my children again, that I would never have anything again. So I had actually tried to stop doing drugs, and I couldn't do it. But they didn't condemn me either. They still loved me. And at that point, I had actually, because of them, I'd actually started going to my court dates. And I got sentenced. They told me that I was going to go to state prison. And I got remanded right there. So in other words, I got taken into custody. So I was sitting in holding cell. I told God, you drive, I'll ride, whatever you say goes. And at that point, I gave everything. I gave everything over to him. I just let him take control. And I asked Jesus just to come and just be with me. And within 10 minutes, I got sober. And I never had a withdrawal from any kind of drug. Smoked for 22 years, not even a craving for a cigarette. I remember sitting on my flat, my bed, and I asked the Holy Spirit just to come and tell me what's next. And we started a Bible study. That was pretty much what it just kind of all fell into place, and it ended up being so big that for the last 45 minutes before lights out, they would open both tiers so everybody come out to Bible study. So those Bible studies were pretty powerful. People were getting saved. People were getting just healed of things. To see these men just, they're broken and just, these tough guys just break down and go, wow, what a big God. Finally, I got sent off to High Desert, and that was I wasn't scared. I actually remember when we pulled up and getting out, we were at the gate, and first time I've ever seen 12-foot-high fences with razor sharp barbed wire all through it, and I looked at it and laughed and was excited to be there, because I knew that God wouldn't be sending me there unless he had something for me to do. I ended up spending so much time with God that I would literally feel the Holy Spirit walk next to me and whisper things in my ears, and about people, for myself. And we had a chapel in there that I volunteered at, I ended up having a lot of favor with inmates and COs, because everything that I said that I was, I walked the walk and talked the talk. I didn't stray from it. And so I did, I taught Celebrate Recovery. I was the head for NAAA, and then another program called CROP, which is Conflict Resolution Option for Peace Program. I didn't have anybody on the outside here, so I didn't have anybody sending me packages in or putting money on my books. But you know what? I never wanted for anything. I always had food. I always had hygiene. I always had this and that. So as I was getting out, I had no idea where I was going to go. I got out on a Saturday, and I couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday. And I went to Twin View, and I just wept. Someone came up to me and gave me a painting, a prophetic art painting, after the service, that was a sun coming up. This is a new dawn of a new day. I started volunteering as security, doing security there, and just absorbing everything that was around me. About 3 months ago, I had to sit down with the the guy that does the hiring for a security. Within a day, I did paperwork and they hired me on. At this point in my life, you know, I'm about to marry the most incredible woman in my life that I've ever met in my life. She loves my heart the way it needs to be loved. I've waited my whole life for a love like this. Now, because our God is a God of restoration and reconciliation, that I can go see my children whenever I want to. And I actually have a good friendship. Me and my ex-wife, we have a workable relationship, a talkable relationship. What I want to see is just the most unwanted wanted again. I want to be that face that they reach out to help them really receive the Father's love. You know, Isaiah 61:7, that says that your shame will be replaced with double honor. And I experience that on a daily basis. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. You know what? If you take one step forward, he'll come running. Because I'm living proof that the worst of the worst can become the best of the best.
Share with you what God has been speaking to me specifically on kindness. And I just shared more kindness. That's what I want to call it. I had such a great laugh when I preached on kindness the previous time. It was about the fruit and kindness. I put it together, which I'm probably going to do again this morning. But this one married couple came to me and they said they didn't want to go to church. And then they had the fight. I don't know if you guys do it as well, but I can so relate with them. They had a fight. No, we must go to church. No, we mustn't. No, we've, backwards, forwards. And then he said to her, but there's no fruit in your life. And she said, yes, but you're not kind. And he said, yes, but there's no fruit in your life, but you're not kind. And then they came to the church and that was my sermon. So obviously they had to repent. But, with me, Lynette, she would say, yeah, you preach about kindness and look at you. And I'm like, oh, yes, I know, I miss it so much, and I want to just repent to my wife publicly, but I have the opportunity to do it, that we sometimes are a certain way to people on the outside, but on the inside, we are not that. And I just realized that God wanted this in me to change. And what I also realized is that God is good. When you say it in the township, you say, God is good. They go, all the time. So if you say, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Amen. Psalm 145, that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all and all that is made. So many places that God is good, and we must trust that God is good. And I really believe we many times operate from a place where we believe God is good, but not to us. Or he loves us, but he doesn't like me. And therefore, for us, we live a little bit like that hiring thing. And I'm talking about me now, not any of you. But I realized in my own life, because there's things that you believe, you know God is good, but you just think that he's not good to me. and many things happen, and everything in my life, all the circumstances, is pointing to the fact that God is not good to me, because I'm taking all this shot, all this strain. But then I just went back to the Word and I said, God is good. And I started thanking Him for things. And like Lynette and I prayed together the other morning. And when we prayed, we just put all the memorials and thanksgiving of what God has done in our life. And, my wife came to me Saturday morning because we're both feeling terrible. And she said, we're getting flu. So she said to me, can we just pray? And I said, yes, that's fine. And she said, why? And I said, no, I feel I need to cleanse my heart because I just feel like dirty. And I said, Lynette, this is exactly where I am. She didn't know what I was going to preach at. And I just quickly shared with her what I wanted to preach on. And we prayed together. We did a lot of repentance to one another. We've been not nice to one another. Where we've been saying things and doing things. We repented about these things, and we prayed for one another, as in James, that God, if you are sick, confess your sins to one another, lay hands on the sick, and you will be healed. And I felt much better after that. And I realized, for me specifically, that God is wanting to change my heart. He wants my heart to become pure. Romans 2 verse 4 says, the kindness, God's kindness is meant to lead to repentance. And I realize that God is kind, and therefore people repent. People's lives change. And the word repentance in Greek is metanoia. It means you've gone a certain way, and now you go a different way. You're not that same person anymore. Like that man, he was a drug pusher, he was a gangster, he used to beat people up for a living, and now he serves in a church. Completely different to what he was. And for me specifically, when people meet Jesus, they change. They are like this, and they become like that. There are people, someone shared with me, and he said, you know, my sin wasn't that great. And he and his friend, they were very similar, and they spoke that when in their past, everyone thought they were good guys. So they don't have this massive testimony, but yet he realized, even in that, he needed Jesus, because where he was not right before God. The only way he could become in right standing with God is to repent and to say, Lord, not in my own strength. I surrender to you completely, and this is who I am. So to the outside, he pretty much looked the same to everyone else, but in his heart, something changed. His heart, there was a circumcision of his heart that took place. There's a new man that's standing up, a man that stands in faith. Now, this morning, Lynette, Yonita came to me and she said, I had a dream about you guys. There was dirty dishes. And I'm like, yes, I know that's a word for us. And she didn't know what it meant. But for us, I know God wants us to clean the dishes. And this is what we have been doing, because there's actions that goes with a repentive lives. There's a difference in who I was to who I become. This is what I really believe God is saying to me. So when the Bible says God is kind and his kindness leads to repentance, I believe God wants us to become like him. When we are like him, we must be kind. Because our kindness, we represent God, our kindness will help people to come to repentance. And this is what I believe God wants to do. So if we must represent him, maybe just Jesus in John 15 says, "He, whatever the Father does, I do likewise." 1 Corinthians 11 says, we must be Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." So we must become like Jesus, all of us. When we are like Jesus, and this is the word that I believe we have, if we are kind like Jesus, people will turn and turn to repentance. So what must we look like if we want to look like Jesus? I believe this is the key scripture, Galatians 5 verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Right in the middle is kindness, that is my benchmark. It's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It talks about character. I believe God wants our character to be like his. And if you're not sure what his character is like, this is his character. For me specifically, kindness is that benchmark. Am I like Jesus? Now, there was two quotes that I wanted to share with you that I just want to throw in there quickly. But the first one, I'm just going to, Jenny, ask you to go back to the beginning. A tree is known by its fruit, a man by its deeds. A good deed is never lost. He who sows courtesy reaps friendships, and he who plants kindness gathers love. So for me, I really believe God is speaking to me about kindness, that when we become Christians, there's something about kindness that is in us. We are kind because Jesus is kind. We are good because God is good. So I'm just going to take you back. I believe God is very serious about how we represent him. In Acts 2, I was just reading there that the Christians in the early, they were praising God, and they had favor with men, all men. All men wanted to be with the Christians, but they were actually afraid of them because they knew if they become believers, they will have to change. This is in, go and read Acts 2 verse 47 if you want to double check me. But Luke 2 says that Jesus himself increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and with man. If we have the characteristics or the character of God, people will be drawn to us. So many times we say, I'm getting persecuted at work. People don't like me, but it's because I stand for Christ. I stand for truth. But I believe this is something that God wants to change in us. If we in step with the Spirit, people, we will have favor with all people as Christians. And I think this is something in my heart that God, I believe God wants to change with me specifically, that there's a place of kindness, that we rather focus on our character now than wanting to hit someone with truth. Because when the favor is there, people will come to you. What doesn't matter what you say, they will hear what you say because of the relationship that is there. This is just what I believe at the moment that God is speaking to me. I also believe that God is serious about how we represent Him. Romans 11 verse 22 says, note the kindness and the severity of God, severity to those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, then provided you continue in His kindness. So, what I'm just seeing from this, God is kind to us provided that we're being kind. If we're not kind, what I just see from the scripture is that God comes and prunes us because He wants the fruit. He's going to prune us. If there's no kindness, He will come and prune us. And we mustn't be afraid of being pruned because God is good. God will prune us because He wants us to bear much fruit. And I'm going to show you why I'm saying this. So for us to represent Jesus, we must be in Him. We cannot represent Him if we're not in Him, if we're not part of Him, if we're not connected to Him. John 15 says that we must abide in Jesus as He is in us. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in Me. So we, as a branch, cannot have fruit as if it's not in the tree, if it's not connected. So we will not be able to bear fruit if we are not in Christ. And then verse 5 of John 15 says that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from Me, says Jesus, we cannot do anything. Verse 7 says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I've been so challenged with this. We pray for people who are sick and who have cancer, and God says in His word, if you believe in My name, you will cast out demons, you will pray for the sick and they will be healed, you will pray for the blind, they will see, for the deaf and they will hear, you will walk on water, you will do greater things than I have done. And here it says, if we ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. So something is wrong. So there's something that the word is saying that I'm not seeing in my life specifically. And I'm asking God, what is this thing that you want me to set right? And I believe it's this. By my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. And then so prove to be My disciples. I believe God wants us to bear much fruit. The following statement is, we will not be known by our gifts. We will be known by our fruits, that we are disciples. So, in other words, I will not be known, I will not prove that I'm a disciple of God because I'm a prophet or a pastor. I will prove that I'm a disciple of God because of my fruit, because I love, because I'm kind, because I'm gentle, because I've got self-control, because I walk in peace. The joy of the Lord is in me. That I say faithfulness, that I'm faithful. Those things prove that I'm a disciple of God, that I bear fruit, and that God is glorified by that. Not because I bring massive prophetic words, or I can lead worship and people fall over under the anointing of God. And what I really believe God is going to do, He's going to pour out His Spirit mightily upon people, and these things will happen. The lame will walk. The lepers will be cleansed. People with cancer will be healed. But if our character is not there, we'll have pride, and it will be our downfall, because a tree, a disciple, is known by his fruit and not by his gifts. So when I went to go and read upon this, just to know more about the fruit, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, when you talk about the gifts and the fruit, that the gifts is in the middle. 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the gifts, then it talks about the character, and it says that if you have all those gifts, but you don't have the character, it means nothing. Because love is patient and it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not arrogant or rude, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So I really am so serious that God in me wants to see the character of God. And for me specifically, because I know that's my weakness, it's the whole thing about kindness. Last time I shared in Matthew 7 about the good tree and the diseased tree. But when you look at Luke 6, Jesus is in the Beatitudes, where he talks all these radical things, where he says that we must love our enemies and we must do good, and we lend things, we mustn't expect anything back, because God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Then Jesus says we must be merciful, we must not judge, we must not condemn, we must forgive, and we must give, and it will be given to us. And then he talks about the fruit. So he quantifies all those difficult things by saying, in Luke 6, verse 43, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. So the bad tree, when you look at Matthew, it says it's a diseased tree. It's a tree that needs Jesus. If the tree has Jesus, the fruit will be that of Jesus. There will be good fruit. Then in Luke 6, it says, for each tree is, verse 44, each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and an evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I'm seeing here, the tree is our hearts. The fruit is the words that we speak. So if the tree is good, if your heart is good, the words will be good. So when you start slandering and speaking negatively, you know the tree is the diseased. We must abide in the vine. We must come back to God again, because God wants us to bear much fruit. But the fruit must be from God. The fruit must be from Jesus. So, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths will speak. And this is the key that I'm seeing here, that God is wanting our hearts to become like Him. That's why He wants a circumcised heart. When He wants us to be born again, He wants Jesus to come into our hearts. Have you taken Jesus into your heart? Because Jesus changes the inside from the inside of out. But then Luke 6 verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So now there's something about the words that we speak and the actions that we do that comes from that. Verse 47 says, everyone who comes to me, hears my word, and do them, I will show you what he's like. So Jesus comes, he cleanses the heart, he makes a new creature of the heart. The words start changing, the words becomes pure. There's no more swearing in your words, there's no more negativity, there's no more gossiping, etc. Then from that comes a place where we start doing the actions that adds to the tree, that represents a tree that is inside. And if we do those things, Jesus says, this is what you will be like. You'll be like a man that builds a house. The house is built on a solid foundation. When the flood comes, it will stand. If it's not a good foundation, the flood will come and the house will be taken away. Lynette and I went to go and watch a movie. We thought of having a romantic night off on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, I think it was. And we went to go and watch The Impossible. Don't go and watch it. We cried all the time. It was a terrible movie to see. It's about a tsunami that comes in. And when we prayed this morning, I just realized that for the people on the world, when that wave came, the wave was pure water. It was beautiful, clear water. But when it reached the earth, it is destruction. The water became filthy and muddy, and people, terrible, 300,000 people died because world wasn't prepared for the wave. If it was a dam, the wave would have come in and it would have been a clear dam. But it was full of the stuff of the world. And when that wave came, it brought destruction. So if God is going to pour out His Spirit upon us, we better be ready to receive His Spirit. Because if we're not ready, it's going to bring massive destruction. Many people not will die in a spiritual sense because of the attitudes of where our hearts are. So our words indicate the condition of our hearts. So our hearts reflect first our words and then our actions. I also believe that our words grieve the Holy Spirit. If we have negative words, and I just want to show you why I'm saying this. In Ephesians 4, it talks about let no corrupt talking come from your mouth, only such as good and building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with you along with malice. So this is the condition of our heart grieves. If it's bad, it grieves the Holy Spirit. But then I just said our kindness is part of imitating God because He's kind. But then He says now in verse 32, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God. God wants us to imitate Him and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up to be a fragrant offering. God wants us to be a fragrant offering to the world, to Him, because He wants us to represent people, that people can see that God is good and they can change and also want to be part of God. Because if this person changed so much, he was this way and now he's that way, I also want that. There's favor on my life because of the things that I say. It's positive things that I say. I'm encouraging people all the time. People feel safe with me. There's love, there's kindness, there's friendliness that comes from me. I want to be part of this. I also want that. I want to change. I want to become, I want to take on that man's God because that God is kind. I want to become who that man is. So for me, I believe we must ask God for a pure heart. When I just, James 3 as well, it talks about the tongue and it's, brings fire and it's bad, and it's when you speak, it brings, we can speak bad things, and it says from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. It cannot be that way. They can't from a well be salt water and fresh water. It's not possible. A fig tree. Now James is quoting his older brother Jesus, and you know he wasn't a believer before Jesus got crucified. He only became a believer after the resurrection of Christ. And now he's quoting his own brother, and he says, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grape tree produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Verse 13, our deeds will become pure because our hearts become pure. Who is wise and understanding among you? By this good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Now he talks about the bad fruit again. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast or be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but this is earthly and spiritual and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But God wants us to have good fruit. And He says, but the wisdom that is from God is first pure. So there's a purity in who we are, that where we are pure. You know in your own thoughts whether you are pure or not. And what this is just so amazing from any sermon last week where he said, be conformed not to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he showed us how we can work together with God for our mind to be renewed and our thoughts to become pure. Then be peaceable. We walk in peace. We are gentle. We are open to reason from all people. We are full of mercy and good fruit. Be impartial, ons discrimineer nie. We are sincere, ons is opreg. And then a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm not going to go too much further into that, but I believe that God wants us to change our hearts. Psalm 19 says, let the words of my let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. And this is a place that I believe comes from repentance, that we say, Lord, come and cleanse my heart. Because I really believe God wants us to bear much fruit. Just, I'm going to finish off with this in Mark 14. It's the parable of Mark 4, the parable of the sower. Jesus shares the parable, and then the disciples ask him, now what does it mean? And Jesus says, the seed is my word. It gets sown. Then, verse 15 says, there's seed that falls on a path. And this is when people hear the word, but Satan immediately takes it away. So the people hear the word, nothing came from it. Their lives never changed. Then there's seed that falls on the rocky ground. And he says, this is, they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but there's no root in themselves. They endure for a while, but when the tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So they're excited about the word, and this is a nice new tool. It's maybe great, I'm going to get rich because I tithe or whatever the case might be. But then, and we believe nothing bad will happen to me. And then when the thing starts happening, we fall away because we will face tribulation on account of the word. Then there's the next one where the seed falls amongst the thorns. Now the thorns are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. This is the world. When that tsunami comes, it's full of the stuff in us. And when that comes, the word gets choked and it proves unfruitful. So there's no fruit in our lives because we care too much about the things of the world. But then they see that sown in good soil. The people hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. I really believe God wants me to bear much fruit. And for me specifically, that's kindness and love and peace and joy and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. The thing about fruit is, if I give you fruit, you can eat it and it will nourish you. But there's seed, and that seed can be planted and it can bring more plants, and it can bring more fruit, it can bring more harvest. So my fruit will affect you. If it grows in you, it will affect other people, and they will be able to eat from it. So I really believe God wants all of us to bear much fruit, because He wants a harvest to come. So I'm going to finish off with this. Psalm 51 says, hide your face for my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. So I'm just going to ask you to stand and to turn to one or two, maybe two people or three people next to you that you are comfortable with. If there's not someone that you feel comfortable with, just to turn to that person. And if you are in the same place as I am, if you're not, then praise God. That's fantastic. I'm happy for you. But maybe there's stuff in your heart that's not right. And you know, like Lynette and I, that we just need to bring this before God, that He can come with the blood of Jesus to come and cleanse our hearts. And just say to, if it's your wife or it's a friend, that you can just say, look, this in my heart, I just want to repent to you and to God, and I want you to be my witness for this that I've done wrong. And then we ask God to come and cleanse our hearts, that we can have pure hearts before God, because then we know we will have much fruit. So if you just want to right now just pray with someone next to you, someone that you feel comfortable. If you're not comfortable and you want to come forward, you're more than welcome to come and pray with me. But just pray with someone if you want to, and just bring the condition of your heart, because I believe most of us are actually in that place, that we can just bring our hearts before the Lord and ask God to come and cleanse our hearts.